Hey gang, what's up, podcast fans of all stripes? Coming in early to tell you, you got a Patreon, you guys. It's Rebrand the Podcast on Patreon. Join for only $5 and you get all kinds of fun stuff like unaired episodes, which is cool. You get access to the Discord. We do hangouts there monthly. That's cool. You can ask us questions, suggest themes for episodes, chop it up with the other Discord pals, all that kind of shit. It's really fun. Yeah, only $5. We've truly lost our minds over here. It's a giveaway sale that no one could have possibly believed. enjoy this episode with my good friend, Zach Mendez. Hey guys, just want to tell you another thing, which is that I'm publishing a book on Substack. It's called Treehouse. It's a psychedelic road trip story about a skateboarder, an alcoholic. It's beautiful, fun. I'm going to be releasing weekly chapters. So just look up Morton Edmund Burke on Substack. And I have a stand-up special coming out the 22nd of this month called There's Beauty in It All. And I love it a lot. So look out for that one. What's up, guys? Welcome to Rebrand, the podcast where we rebrand all manner of things. We've been real into rebranding brands lately, so that's what we're going to do with this one. And I'm here with one of my greatest friends, a brilliant, sweet gentleman who's also very talented. We do a lot of sketches together, one of which blew the fuck up on Instagram. Maybe we'll talk about that. And you know him from Dragon Age and Horizon Zero Dawn. It's Zachy Mendez. What's up, Zach?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh, my God. Fucking my absolute pleasure. Yeah, remember we did that sketch and then it didn't do anything for 4 years during the pandemic, and then we reposted it and put it up and it got 500,000 views on Instagram.
All we did was switch the side by side to top to top. Like, that was the thing we couldn't figure out. Yeah. And then we were like, what if we put them stacked each other so people on their phones could actually watch it and enjoy it?
Yeah.
And then it got 700,000 views.
I think we were also 4 years ahead of our time, I think also.
Yeah, that's the problem with us, you know, having so many Aquarian placements. We're often a little too ahead of the times. It's okay. They'll catch up to us.
Now, Zach, we're heading into Aquarius season currently and the age of the Aquarius. Is that correct?
You could say it's the age of Aquarius. Yes, you could say we've entered it. A lot of astrologers have a difficult time placing that. But what I will say is there's a lot of Aquarian activity over the next 24 years as Pluto is now firmly in Aquarius. And I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the AI buzz coming from, is the Pluto-Uranus connection between Aquarius and Gemini. We don't need to get into astrology right now, even though I desperately want to talk about it at all hours of the day.
Okay, Zach, are you now, kind of an important question, are you AI?
I am not AI.
Okay, great. Am I?
There's only one way to tell. Can you please tell me how many fingers I have?
You've got 10.
You're not AI.
That's it.
AI can't do that. They can't figure out fingers.
That's pretty stunning.
Kind of like artists in hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. They also like ChatGPT doesn't know what day of the week it is.
Yeah, it's woefully uninformed on certain issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. Hey, what brand are we talking about today?
Let's do Twizzlers. You want to?
Fuck yeah.
All right, so here's the deal with Twizzlers, right? Twizzlers, it's a licorice-type candy manufactured by Y&S Candies. All right, it's in Pennsylvania, sure. Hey, we got a little bit of American.
It's a Hershey's company, is it not?
No, how there. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, the Hershey company, exactly right. Yeah. Now, when I think of Twizzlers, the first thing that pops in my head is the makes mouths happy thing. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that? That must have been before your time then. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mouths happy?
The ads were like a disembodied pair of lips. Think like the Rolling Stones lips.
And what happened to the lips?
And then they would eat, they would greedily devour Twizzlers, and then they would smile. I think so, unless that's like well, now that I'm describing
it. And did the mouth eventually go like, it makes your mouth happy? Or something like really strange like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's an unsettling trademark. You know what I mean?
Makes yeah, absolutely. It says 80s. Oh, yeah, 1988. Oh, yeah, this is way. Yeah, I encourage maybe we should look at the commercial 1987. But, you know, I think I'm describing it accurately. Yeah, you get it. It sort of was kind of, it felt sort of AI before AI in a way that I was like, everyone felt, why are we being exposed to this?
Why is this a movie theater treat being sexualized?
Yes, totally. And where's the rest of the human? Like, why the disembodied lips? Like, I understand that this is supposed to be vaguely sexual, but it's not. It's something that a robot would think people would like.
Because
they're like, they like lips. They probably want to see them without the head.
or possibly that's how the Twizzler company thinks of us, is just a hole in which to get as many. That's the game they're playing. There's a bunch of holes around there, and we're trying to get as many Twizzlers in there as possible.
Yeah.
By any means necessary.
It'd be funny if it was like a clearly sort of overweight lips, and there's like, it had like cavities and stuff, look kind of sick, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Twizzlers is they claim to be a low calorie snack.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which,
you know, you're not buying it.
Well, I mean, maybe they don't have calories in them, but I mean, it's like saying, like, I don't know, like a drop of plutonium doesn't have a lot of calories in it. It's like, yeah, okay, should you ingest
that? That is it? Right. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, what the fuck else is in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
I could eat a whole spoon and be like, not too many calories, but take me to the emergency room.
Yeah, because you're radioactive now and you're glowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Right. That mm-hmm. makes sense. Yeah. So are they now, should we be concerned about what's in them? Does that matter?
I don't know if we should look too deeply into what's in them, because I actually have had, as much as I've talked against it, many a Twizzler at a movie theater.
Sure.
It was actually my go-to snack.
Really? You go Twizzler first before a chocolate?
I don't go chocolate. Most of my candies are going to be licorice-based. I love the Twizzler as a concept. Bite both ends off, make it a Sprite straw,
yep.
and then you're having Twizzler Sprite, then you eat the cold Twizzler afterwards. It's, I mean, really kind of a gate you have to walk through as an adolescent in America, I think, is to make the Twizzler straw.
Totally. And you're like both a chef and an artist kind of in that way. You've mm-hmm. sort of created a sculpture and then
yeah.
you, but it's a pragmatic sculpture.
Yeah. You've engineered something that for usage.
Yeah.
So that's like that speaks to the Twizzler's versatility. Also, like, it doesn't have such an overwhelming taste. So you can really kind of almost unconsciously eat 50.
Yeah, totally.
And not really register anything.
Yep. And I don't want to go over. Okay. I don't want to skip past, as far as rebranding, I don't want to skip past the straw thing, because that's brilliant, right? It's already there. We just make a commercial with like a joyful little kid in the magic of a movie theater turning his Twizzler into a straw. And it says, remember childhood, Twizzler.
Yeah. See,
right?
Like, right? The glow of the screen on his face as he happily tears off both ends and plunges it into the drink and sips joyfully at his
yeah.
Coke.
And if it was my commercial. If it was my commercial, if I was doing it for me, then the makes mouth happy lips would come on the screen, and then the kid would just start sobbing. You know, here's what I'm learning: nibs, because I thought nibs were fun. It's just like I'm sort of obsessed with candies and stuff that have bad names, right? Like nibs to me sounds like an amputated limb. Like it's a terrible, right? But apparently, nibbed shaped licorice predates the iconic brand Twizzler. Canadian department store used the word to describe their licorice product in the 1920s. Licorice nibs, they launched in 23 as a sanitary, what? In sanitary glassine packaging. I'm going to click on glassine and see what that is.
Hmm.
The smooth, glossy paper that is air, water, and grease resistant. Okay. It's probably made out of poison. okay. Yeah. Even though the company sold nearly 50 million pounds of licorice products in 1975, in that year, okay, Y&S turned into a Madison ad firm to separately promote their products in an effort to differentiate Twizzlers from nibs. All right. Anyway, a little bit
really,
of
they want to take a step away from the nibs.
Yeah. That's a little nibs history or nibstery for you.
Well, licorice is already a really polarizing snack. I mean, especially black licorice, either you love it or you hate it. And I think Twizzler also kind of serves that same purpose. There's two kinds of people. You either love Twizzlers or you dislike them very much.
Right. I like black licorice,
mm-hmm.
and which mm-hmm. in some people's mind makes me like truly evil.
Well, you're a sociopath.
Yeah. They're like, how can you, there's no way you could know love and like black licorice. The
it's
two,
impossible. They're mutually exclusive. Yeah.
And I also prefer red vines to Twizzlers. Even.
Sorry. Lord, I've known you for a while now. And
I know.
I thought I knew your politics.
I know.
You like red vines over Twizzlers?
This is people. Yes, man. People would rather, they'd rather hear that I'm pro ice. Than fucking pro red
That's
wine.
No, you hear you, what do you, okay.
I like that they taste like wax, kind of. I don't know. Here's what I'm fairly convinced of. Here's what I think. I think it's truly a genetic disorder. I think my genes are weak. I think that there's some sort of DNA missing that, or like I had too many concussions as a child. I don't know, but they taste better to me.
Okay, so if you're going trick-or-treating
yep.
and somebody has a bowl chock full of red vines, you're going, yes, Awesome. Yeah.
Not only that, dude, I like Necco wafers. You ever heard Necco wafers?
No, I haven't heard of these off-brand snacks that you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. I only, well, here's the other thing about me, right? Like, I was born in late 1979, okay?
Mm.
So I predate the world where they discovered that candy is actually for children.
Got it.
So I lived in a world where they, like, something like Good and Plenty, which is a fucking hilariously bad name. They were like, they didn't even give a shit about advertising. They're like, I don't know, there's good and there's plenty of them. So let's just call it that. And they're like, good, well, you only got these two colors. And we've only got black licorice, which isn't candy. And they're like, there's no other candy out there. Whereas, and then all of a sudden you had like Teddy Grahams came along and they realized like, oh, we should put teddy bears in the commercials. And we should market these things with like bright colors and names that sound enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
So the name Red Vine is fucking disgusting. You know what I mean? Like it's just somebody looked around and saw, they were like, I don't know, it's a vine, I guess, call it that. They spent no time in marketing.
No. It was like what, the guy's cousin they brought in. They're like, hey, yeah, what should we call it? He's like, it looks red. It's a vine. Let's go with that.
Yes, it has the color in the name of the fuck thing. Are you joking with me? You know what I mean? It's like calling McDonald's red hamburgers. It's fucking psychotic.
I'm sorry. I haven't moved past the idea that you like red vines. Like if I were to go into, you know, here are a list of candies I'd rather get trick-or-treating than red vines. Here are a list of treats I'd rather get than red vines. Oh, Henry. Rolos.
I'll
and I don't like these things. I don't like Rolos, but I'd rather give them red vines. A Slim Jim. If you gave me a Slim Jim, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Give me that as opposed to a red vine. Circus peanuts. I would take all of those over a red vine.
I went through a period of liking circus peanuts. Again, I think it's like being born before cable or like the internet or something. Where you're
or maybe
like
when lead paint was still really prevalent. Maybe that's what explained this, is the tremendous amount of lead you have in your bloodstream.
Yeah, something. I mean, I'm allergic to the sun. I'm an alcoholic. I have fucking, I have attention deficit disorder at a catastrophic level.
Lead poisoning. It's got to be.
I think I just come from very damaged Irish people who...
You come from damaged Irish stock?
Yes, dude. Yes. Who were like just stayed out, like got drunk and stayed outside for like five generations until all of their genes were sort of like fucking mixed up and matched like a puzzle, like a shitty puzzle or something, I think.
Yeah.
Because people get upset, as are you, understandably so.
Well, yeah, I just can't understand. Like, if I were to dress up, you know, in one of my old Halloween costumes, I used to take Halloween very seriously. Mm. In sixth grade, I was Baby Spice. Platform heels, whole deal. I was fucking hot.
Damn.
Yeah.
She's really like hot. The hot one too. That was kind of probably weird for everybody, wasn't it?
Everybody was weird. My
not
mother was the
woman,
only one who was supporting
me. You were portraying
me.
A hot woman.
My father would not look at me. But if I were to walk around, clonking around in my sister's heels, and somebody handed me a red vine, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'd have been like, do you see me? Do you see the effort I put into this? And you're giving me a red vine?
But I'm telling you, if you've never really had candy before, and then somebody gave you, this is hard to imagine. You have to be in true beginner's mind. Imagine you've never had candy and somebody gave you a Mary Jane. You know what that is?
No.
Yeah. It's like a fucking, it's awful. It's like taffy, but it tastes like it has salt in it. But if you've never had candy before, you're like, hey, this isn't, wow, it's not meat. Huh?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's the thing, is that they should be slowly, Red Vine specifically, should be advertising to like Victorian era street urchins.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, it's not an apple core or whatever they need to say. Like, I guess that would be, it'd be attractive to them. I just can't. Like,
yeah,
here's
like,
the thing about red vines. If in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, there was a red vine room, all of the kids would have made it through there unscathed. They'd be like, no, we're good. Like, we don't need to. We're up to no shenanigans.
Willy Wonka's like, just climb the vine out of the factory. And they're like, no, we're not getting near those fucking
like,
things.
Like, no, let's go to a different room. Augustus could, like, definitely save some room for later. He'd be like, I'm fine. I don't need to try this. Like, all the kids would be unharmed.
I mean, I don't know if this is, I know people love Willy Wonka, and I think this is a hot take, but I wouldn't trust the fucking guy. He shows you what a liar he is right away.
With a limp?
Yeah.
You can't trust a thing he does after that limp.
No.
I thought he was sincerely injured.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
And who's that invested in tricking children? You know what I mean?
Into thinking that you're somehow hobbled?
Yeah. And
No,
knowing,
there's a
right.
darkness there.
Yeah, it's ableist. It's ableist. It's ageist in a lot of ways. And knowing what we know now about the elites, like you think, look, if the Epstein files came out in the Willy Wonka world, he's all over those fucks.
He's him, and who is the and Charlie Bucket would be implicated in some way, possibly. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So. And you'd find out that all the Oompa Loompas are being trafficked.
God. Oompa Loompa doobity doo. And then just fill in some really depressing rhyme after that about being trafficked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly right. So I think, first of all, we could also do the Twizzlers commercial where they climb the Twizzlers up out of the chocolate factory. I think that's pretty strong. Okay, what do you think about, so let's try and bring Twizzlers into the modern age. How does the current, like, what does their current brand strike you as, do you feel like? There was, in December 2014, you remember Pull and Peel Fruit
Yeah.
Punch? Yep. And Twizzler-filled strawberry lemonade varieties. I remember those. Yeah.
Was that their kind of last reinvention, is the Pull and Peel, where they wanted to make it a more interactive candy?
I think so. And they tasted a little bit like they had plastic on them.
Oh, that's kind of one of the selling points of Twizzler is that
yeah.
it is, you know, what you're eating can't be considered food, because I don't know if you know this, but apparently I've read in some places that Twizzlers, we really don't know their melting point. Either they can't melt, or given just the household technologies that we have at our disposal, the oven, which reaches 450 degrees, the microwave, these things can't melt the Twizzler.
Right.
I think you need to take it to the face of the sun to really figure out at what point it melts, which doesn't seem like something you should put in your body.
Right.
But they
yeah.
are fun. They do make my mouth happy during a movie. They really do.
Yeah. And I think, well, in the same way, like, remember, I don't know, this could be generational, but did you ever, when you find out about rice paper, that kind of paper that you can eat?
Rice paper? Like what the Japanese used?
Yeah.
Like wrap
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
There's something about putting something that should be bad for you into your body that is fun. Like, self-destruction is a kind of power, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this, yeah, the Twizzlers, there's this plasticky sheen on them that
yeah.
gives them a shine that makes them look like a freshly polished apple. But it's also like, this is fucking weird chemical shit that is not digestible, you know?
A real freshly polished apple.
Yeah,
indeed,
like some
yeah.
fucking weirdo just took a kerchief to an apple for about
just
an hour.
Just really getting his fucking elbow in there the whole time.
We'll get her clean for you. There's not an apple left anymore. He fucking dented it all crazy. You're like, no, I'm good. Good, you creep.
Yeah, so I mean, but is that the selling point? Like, if we're going to reband Twizzler, should they kind of go forward with that? Like, hey, the shiniest red you've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is coated in wax.
Yeah. Somebody pulls it in a movie theater, somebody pulls it out, and the entire audience is like, they're shielding their eyes.
It's so bright. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. The show, like, taking a blowtorch to it, and the Twizzler's fine.
Has known, unlike almost all physical objects on Earth, that has no known melting point.
Yeah. No known melting point.
I think that's strong.
I think, hey, Twizzlers, it has no known melting point.
Yeah.
And sales then, through the roof.
Right.
It'll
a bunch
a
of
TikTok
nerdy scientists are like, we'll get it to melt. And then the clock goes, and then you see, you know, they got blowtorches, they got all these different beakers full of acid and stuff, and they cannot get the thing. They throw it in a nuclear reactor and it just pops
right
back.
They take
right
it to CERN. Take it to CERN. They start firing electrons at it at the speed of light. Can't blow it apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't do a thing.
Yep. It exists in two separate places. At the same time, and that can be proven mathematically.
Yeah,
so
they identify its quantum superposition, and it's like, yes, the Twizzler, its body is actually not in this plane with us. What we're seeing is a holographic projection of what is the ultimate Twizzler. There's one ultimate Twizzler that produces kind of this kind of fractal experience of all the other Twizzlers, and that's why they have such a strong connection to this godlike Twizzler being that lives outside of time that it can't be melted. That's the only explanation for their lack of a melting point, because I can't think of anything that can't be melted. You can melt rock.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you get slag, you know? You can melt.
That's how do you think you get slag?
Slag.
Where do you think we're getting all this slag from? We're piling up in trucks over here. It's melted rock, baby. So I love this. So there's one godhead Twizzler that through some sort of mathematical shattering of what we know as reality, Twizzler was, it sounds, it has the origin story of like a Spider-Man villain or something.
Well, you can see the Twizzler is just not, it's otherworldly in its nature. It's in this world. It's not of this world, the
no.
Twizzler. No.
Right.
Much like Christ himself.
Yes.
In the world, not of the world.
No, it's Jesus on the cross at the crucifixion, but they're out of his hands and feet are Twizzlers.
Twizzlers. Yeah, that's what the stigmata initially was. It was Twizzler residue.
He goes, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they," and then somebody throws a Twizzler into his mouth and he starts chomping.
Makes my mouth happy.
I mean, that's a fun commercial. And that's like one of these commercials I was kind of obsessed with from like 10, 15 years ago that were all, that would be like, they were surreal, but really unfun, where it'd be like a goat with a Skittles beard or something.
Yeah, and, those were so good. They were taking some of the most daring creative chances back in the early 90s with commercials.
I really hated it bad.
Yeah, I loved how the haunting sensation I was left with after watching 2.5 minutes of Starburst, Twizzlers, and all manner of like Capri Sun turning in, like people turning into metal, then turning back into, you know what I mean? That whole Capri Sun thing where they would turn into like liquid mercury.
Yep.
And then if you drank it.
Yeah, they're sort
like,
of doing
what
we're suggesting, right? Which is like, you know, let's really truly discuss how bad this is for your insides. Yeah, that.
But celebrated at the same time. We're not denigrating Twizzler. We think it makes a really wonderful product if your goal is to destroy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And those commercials, I think they allow the advertisers to treat us with the kind of disdain that they really have for us. Mm-hmm. They want to infect us and make us frightened. They don't like us. They want us to be scared eating or confused in eating their products. I think that's where they learn, like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they like this commercial or not. It doesn't matter if you like Jesus fountaining Twizzlers out of his stigmata or not. You're going to be talking about it.
You're going to be talking about Twizzler. You're not going to stop thinking about Twizzler. And eventually you're going to get hungry and annoyed in traffic. You're going to pull over to an easy stop, pop in, spend $2.50 on a nice big bag of Twizzlers.
Okay, I got another pitch.
Pitch it.
Which is Twizzler black and white, okay? So, we're all familiar with the 2003 hit drama Pleasantville. So imagine this is the commercial's kind of like that. For some reason, the world sort of turns black and white, right? And then Twizzlers, one bag is like next to one, and one's black and one's white. And then, you know, that thing that happens in advertising, where it's like the oops, all berries thing where they get mixed up or whatever. So it's like that. So then all Twizzlers that you get are black and white, but the whole thing is they don't taste any different.
They just taste like,
and that's the tagline. Twizzlers, the exact same taste. And the commercial is somebody goes, they'll taste like Twizzler. They're not happy or like sad. They're just sort of like identifying a fact, you know?
But I'm confused. You kind of reference Pleasantville, in which things go from black and white to color just because people start making out and having sex. And Pleasantville was the kind of the. Is anything happening in the commercial to make it go from black and white to color?
I should have admitted that I've never seen Pleasantville. And I hope to I hope to never see Pleasantville. William H. Macy, Tobey Maguire. Although I'll tell you,
the entire cast.
P.T. Anderson directed the Fiona Apple music video for Pleasantville, which is a cover of Across the Universe, and it's fucking amazing.
Listen, Pleasantville is an eerily good movie. It's eerily, it just stays with you in a very kind of like, you can't shake it like a bad cold. You don't know if it's like great or just slightly off, but it's there's something about it that kind of echoes with you as you go throughout your life. I think about it once a month.
I mean, I think as an idea, I mean, there's a reason that it stuck with me. Okay, so here's what I'm going to pitch then. So the first commercial, so it's black and white, and they're like, they taste a Twizzler, and they're like, ho-hum, Twizzlers. And all the Twizzlers in our world become black and white. And that's like 6 months of people being like, wait, did they change Twizzlers to be black and white, but they still taste like Twizzler? And they're like, it's weird. And then we get another commercial with Toby McGee or whatever the fuck, and Bill Macy. Yeah. And then in that commercial, then those two hook up, and it starts to turn into color. And then the Twizzlers, then they go rainbow, but they still all taste like Twizzlers.
So regardless of how much Tobey Maguire and William H. Macy make out, the Twizzler taste stays the same.
Except there's one, and it's the golden ticket to the Willy Wonka Twizzler factory. And that one tastes like a mixture of Twizzler and Hawaiian Punch. So it's not that different, really.
And the guy takes a big bite of it. And he goes, "Oh, this one tastes a little bit different, but not that much."
Yeah. And they're like, doo, 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 doo. And then like a big, there's like a huge celebration, ticker tape parade. He's so like, look for the Twizzler that tastes a little bit like Twizzlers and a little bit like Hawaiian Punch.
It tastes a little different.
Yeah.
Banner. It
Yep,
comes down.
Twizzler. One of them tastes a little different. Yeah. So
I like that.
That's my pitch.
I think that could, you know, that gets some eyeballs. That get people talking.
Wouldn't it? I'm into this world where we can allow these campaigns to be confusing.
Yeah. And almost off-putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good. We want to be, I don't, we want to, we don't want everybody buying Twizzlers. That'd be crazy.
No.
If think about it, do you think that if Twizzler like ran an ad campaign and they saw sales increase by like, I don't know, 80,000%, like every single person in America was buying Twizzlers every day,
Yeah.
would they get worried?
Oh,
Like,
it's an economic disaster if that happens.
right? Wouldn't they be like, whoa, that's too many people buying
And I
Twizzlers?
think not just for them, for the entire economy, you know? I
Yeah,
think the world economy.
would be really bad if everybody bought Twizzlers. So you don't want an advertising that's too good. You got to push some people away.
Yeah, but if they wake up, if by the end of the year they see that their revenue is increased by like, I'm gonna say like $900,000, which is not that much for a giant corporation, they'll be like, hey, pretty good. Was it those weird ads? Yes, it was.
It was the weird ads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we would have made more money if we didn't pay Tobey Maguire and William H. Macy so much money to make out.
Yeah, we had a dump. Yeah, we yeah, that
Yeah.
was that, yeah, cost
They took a
3 million.
lot of convincing.
Oh yeah, they were like that. We're not very proud of that work, even to begin with.
It's not creatively interesting. We're doing it for the paycheck, but if the paycheck's big enough,
Yeah,
okay, I'll make out with Bill. That was Toby.
that was Toby. Yeah.
William H. Macy was more down for that than Tobey Maguire was, right?
Well, I think he's much more willing to take creative risks.
Yeah, he certainly is. I mean, Seabiscuit, I thought was an interesting departure from Tobey Maguire after Spider-Man. Anyway,
Yeah.
I digress.
Who's he playing
Really,
Seabiscuit?
the horse, I think.
Come on.
The
Why is it,
guy.
did they ever address why the horse is called Seabiscuit? It's just a silly racehorse thing that like.
Yeah, just I mean, horse names. A horse would be a Twizzler name for a horse. That motherfucker would win the Triple Crown. And
Yeah, you
there
think
goes
so?
Twizzler around the bend. Here comes Twizzler.
Yeah.
He's 3 furlongs ahead of the next horse.
So
Red
here's
line.
he okay, so here Twizzlers and many of these candies, they have a lot of what it's called is Allura Red AC, known as Red 40, right?
Oh, love Red 40. Isn't that the one that messes with your semen?
Yeah, okay, so this is what it says. Ooh, maybe. Here's what it says. It's been heavily studied by food safety groups in North America and Europe and remains in wide use. However, chronic exposure to the dye has been shown to increase susceptibility to bowel disorders in mice. The dye has been shown to damage the DNA of mice.
Damage your DNA,
Yeah.
but it makes your mouth happy.
Maybe that's what happened to my people. Maybe we had
Had too many
too many
Twizzlers.
happy mouths and sad DNA.
Twizzlers, happy mouth, sad DNA.
So now I don't want to get political, but in April 2025, along with other petroleum-based dyes, by the end of the year, as part of the Administration of Health Services, his plan, RFK, his plan was to phase out Allura Red C. I think that's going to be the thing, actually, that turns this finally against this administration.
Is when if they touch my Twizzlers, that's going to be the bridge too far that I finally stand up and say,
It would be so funny if they just were like kind of clear and like a little brown all of a sudden.
organic Twizzlers, they're melting all over the place. They can't stop melting en route
Organic.
to the store.
Looks like a weird baseball glove material without the red
Leathery.
40. Because think about it, yeah. Because like they show it in a glass and it's like it does look delicious. Like they show what is probably just it's probably just like the food coloring in a glass of
Yeah.
water. But I want to, it, and it both looks like nighttime medicine and delicious Kool-Aid.
Oh, the Twizzler juice? The
Just
Red
the Red
40 Twizzler?
40
Yeah.
dye, which is all that's Twizzler, what Twizzlers dyed with.
And that's just, and how do they get it to never melt?
This doesn't say, but I think it's got to be a combination of mathematics and a wish, like a witch's spell or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what they have on board. Is a bunch of witches who are putting spells on the Twizzlers going out.
And I don't mean like Silver Lake witches, who I fucking honestly respect, by the way.
Yeah,
this whole thing about like I don't want to date a witch or whatever. I respect the witches, man. I think we need way more witches, and I'm glad they're back. But I do think it'd be funny if they have like, yeah, a classic, like Halloween style broom like, stick flying. Like
Bette Midler from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's just cursing all the Twizzlers that go out of production.
Yeah.
Or, you know, blessing them, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, totally.
Because as much crap as I'm talking, if I'm going to go to a movie theater and I'm going to have popcorn mouth.
Yeah.
I want a Twizzler after that.
Yeah.
That's a palate cleanser. That's an amuse-bouche for me.
Yeah.
That's a good change up at a movie theater.
Are you doing, you do a snow cap over there?
At the movie theater?
Yeah.
No. Not doing snow cap. If anything, if I'm getting anything in the realm of chocolate, it's going to be Milk Duds.
Because you want duds?
I want to lose a crown when I'm at the movie theater. I want my teeth to be damaged beyond all repair.
Yeah.
And not be able to open my mouth.
Yeah.
And I like how much them.
They taste bad also.
Yeah. And they fight back when you eat them. You know, they're live Milk Duds. They hurt.
They taste bad. I don't like milk or a dud. Both of those things are unappealing.
Yeah, and they stay in your mouth for months after you've eaten them.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll just find little bits, little dudettes, I call them.
See, now you're starting to understand why I'll do a red vine. There are certain things that are not appealing that I will eat.
Red vine is an
Describe abortion. What is it? Did you say it's an abortion?
Yeah, it's an unholy union of a color and a plant. And it has neither.
Yeah, what is it about can you describe the taste in them that you find to be so repugnant?
It's because the flavor is somehow even more muted than Twizzler. Yeah. So it's like almost like an uncanny valley situation.
Yeah.
Like it's akin to seeing somebody who has no life behind their eyes. You're like, "Wait, are you AI?" You know what I mean? That kind of like, "Are you a robot?" Like their smile is disconnected with their eyes. You're like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, that's what a red vine is to me, because I hold it, feels kind of like a Twizzler, but with little, almost like little hairs on it.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm like, okay, but this is still a Twizzler experience. Okay. It's got a little more empty space in there. And then when I take a bite, it's just this completely muted sensation, as if like I thought I was about to hug my mother, but instead I'm hugging like a kind of a bunch of wires that somebody put a sweater on. You know what I mean? And then I just feel like
how they do when they do it. The scientists, their whole thing is they like to torture monkeys pretty much.
What they did to the poor rhesus monkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they just like put what looks like a mother monkey, but it's just like a sweater and wire. And they're like, strangely, the monkey is sad. You're like, fucks.
The monkey. It's crazy.
Is sick and can't experience joy because we stole its mother. I wonder what it's so.
I love totally. The 50s that they came to that. They're like, do we even need mothers?
No, they're like, better get another monkey in here and make his whole life awful. So yes, I agree. Red vines are like if an evil alien race came down, heard about licorice, and then tried to make a version that would satisfy us, but ultimately never could because it was created by an entity that doesn't have a human soul.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can taste that when you bite into a red vine.
I think there's something about the authenticity of that I like. Whereas I think Twizzlers to me feels like there's been too much money dumped into making it taste actually like something that is kind of good for me. But I also, again, I hear what you're saying.
But Twizzler, I mean, I think in some food pyramids it's considered a vegetable.
Yeah. Like the Mayans and stuff.
Yeah, the early 90s food pyramids definitely featured Twizzlers as a vegetable.
So good. They're like, okay, milk. Milk, then like just one kind of steak, and then and then salt, and then Twizzlers.
Yeah.
And then
you can get New York strip, whole milk, Twizzlers, salt. You're good to go. That's all you need. Don't worry about water.
And then that song, I feel like a woman. That's in there.
Bum bum ba da. that's considered carbohydrates. It does get you going when you hear bum bum ba da bum bum.
Come on, girls.
God, I love that song. It's really good.
Okay, I got one more little commercial pitch, I think, which is that it's a kind of a Romeo and Juliet thing, and Where Art Thou Romeo? she's tied a whole bunch of Twizzlers and thrown them out of her window. It could also be a Rapunzel.
I was thinking it feels more Rapunzel-y, but sure, we can go.
Yeah, wrong. No, let's do. I think that's probably more accurate. I confused.
She's growing Twizzler hair.
Oh, interesting. See, now we're getting back into these kind of weird, surreal commercials. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And then,
he's climbing them and he's trying not to eat them. But then also every time he takes a bite, she screams. It's connected. The nerve endings are connected.
Yeah, it's not regular hair. Exactly. For her, the type of being that she is, the nerve endings go all the way in the Twizzler. Takes a bite. She screams. She's like, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. I'm coming. She's like, okay. Hurry up. But he keeps, and she's in more and more agony until he chews right through and he falls to his eventual death, right?
I think so. Depending on how he's climbing, I think so. And then,
because the higher you climb, the larger the temptation has gotten to take a bite of this delicious Twizzler.
Yeah.
And the more he ignores the screams of his supposed beloved.
Right.
You know,
and then he hits the ground and goes, bam, bam, banana.
Let's go, girls. It goes, Twizzler, makes your mouth happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all really strong. I mean,
it would almost be irresponsible for Twizzler to ignore these suggestions because they could get sued by their shareholders if they ignored such an obviously profit-building advertisement campaign.
Yeah, they're legally required to maximize profit for the shareholders.
And so by not listening to your suggestion, they're criminals. I didn't say that, but
no, I
a
think
lot
that's
of people
right.
are
I think,
saying that.
A lot I think we just are. Turned the entire Hershey company into a felonious organization, which is the power. That's the power of satire.
Yeah, well, because it's right there. The Rapunzel commercial is right there. You know, what are you waiting for, Hershey?
I think it's really good. You know, would you try this? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I remember when Snickers, which I think tastes like dog food, turned into ice cream Snickers, and I was like, this is fucking great.
You took me back, Mort. God.
Remember that? That was before kind of Ben and Jerry's. That was before the whole like Americone dream and like even really, I don't know if it was or was not before.
Stone Cold wasn't around. They weren't mishmashing stuff. Cold Stone Creamery wasn't doing that yet. Snickers came first, yeah.
Right, and I mean, maybe cookie dough ice cream came before, but like
that was the craziest it got.
That was the craziest guy, and that was insane. We could not believe that they had done that. That was tantamount to the introduction of grunge. Yeah.
It was like the printing press.
Yes.
Like on its effect on the world. You're like, wait a minute, what are you doing with words? You're putting them where?
Yes.
And you're like, wait a second, what is the Snickers? Why is it going in the fridge?
Right.
Because it's ice cream. You're like,
look what has happened societally since then. I don't think we've been able to handle, as a people, the fucking profoundly addictive nature of ice cream with other shit in it. You know what I mean?
It's like ice cream already by itself
is
holds
nuts.
Such a strong grip around the neck of society.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And just to squeeze it even more with adding peanut butter, caramel, nougat. What?
That's what I'm fucking talking about. If you gave a pilgrim a Butterfinger ice cream, they would murder their wife.
Immediately.
Immediately. They would, their level of insanity, and you would be like, you didn't need to, and he was like, will you give me another? And you're like, yeah, you didn't have to kill your family.
He's like, well, I did.
Yeah, guess what? I'm a different guy now, you know? And so that's when, and then you get into like the algorithm and the addictiveness of all the online internet shit. It's like they had to do that because there was no way to further like hypnotize us any more than they already had with food because it was
They
so
reached
funny.
The saturation point with the ice cream bar Snickers so that our kind of the sensors that exist in our stomach were completely fried. Meaning there's nothing more they can do to attack the stomach. So they had to attack the retinas and they had to attack kind of like even the more reptilian brain.
Yes.
For the hypnosis online. Yeah.
They've said we've hacked as far into the taste buds as we possibly can. Now we have to go into consciousness.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, what about Twizzler's ice cream? Would you try it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'd give it a try. You know, I'd be interested to see It would be great if it just tasted like kind of colder Twizzlers. Like they didn't. Like
I think we should also market colder Twizzlers, which is like they're just Twizzlers, but you put them in. And the thing is, you can't put them like a regular refrigerator. You need
No.
like you need
It's
a,
at
you
like
need
62. Like it's not. Is it 62? It's just slightly. It's just a slightly. You'll notice it, but ever so slightly.
you need an apparatus that is midway between a refrigerator and a freezer.
Think
And
about
that's part of the
installing.
process.
Think about if you come over to my house and you go, it looks like I have a wine fridge. You go, is that a wine fridge? I go, no, it's my Twizzler fridge. As you can see, it's set to 62 degrees Fahrenheit. And there's just rows and rows of Twizzlers for kind of cold
Yeah,
Twizzlers.
and I go, so it's just a little, it's a little colder.
Yeah, it's so refreshing, Mort. Would you like one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I'd give you one. Here,
Yeah.
try it. Here, what do you think?
Tastes like Twizzler, but it's a little colder.
Right?
Yeah, I see
Yeah.
it. All right. I think we should do Twizzler ice cream and Twizzler
Kind of cold.
kind of cold. It's got like it shows like the makes mouth happy lips and they're like chattering and stuff, and then another pair of lips comes and but it goes like nope, it shakes its head no, and it knocks that, and then that those lips fly off the screen and it bites and it goes, that's just a little colder.
So you're basically saying that the first mouth is overdoing how cold it is.
Yes,
It's being a
totally.
little bit dramatic about how cold it is.
Well, I
It's
think.
not that cold.
Oh, interesting. I was just thinking that maybe that's like the that mouth had the first version of the idea, which is like, let's make really cold Twizzlers.
Yeah.
But then the second mouth came along and was like, no, we don't need them that cold.
Well, I guess here's the question. If they can't, if there's no power or no technology that we currently possess that can melt a Twizzler, is there any technology that can we change the temperature of a Twizzler at all?
Yeah,
Right?
right.
Can like can we take the heat away? We can't clearly we can't heat it up to the point where it melts. Can we steal its heat to
Right.
make
Can
it
we slow
colder?
the molecular structure down? And what I think we might be able to do is to make slightly cooler that kind of plastic sheen.
Okay. You kind of like in the application of that plastic sheen, it's kind of a colder sheen that you're applying to it.
Yeah, I think so. That's really the like, and even that doesn't get that cold, right? It's like, it's kind of cold. It's like a little colder. Okay, so look, I have great faith in the American people, and I think that I think we're really gonna t we are beginning to turn the tide on this fascist takeover. But if it did happen that we came to total authoritarian totalitarian rule,
Sure.
and they played this podcast in the future, and we're like, this is what they were talking about, do you feel like we'd be on the right side of history?
Regarding Twizzlers?
Regarding this is the kind of art that we should be creating right now.
Oh, you meaning like the fascists take power and like, hey, by the way, I know we've completely undermined all the democratic principles that once made this country great, but can I just show you an example of the type of things that were happening in this free society? And they showed this entire podcast and everybody were like, well, now that I see that, of course you had to do what you did.
Who wouldn't fucking put straitjackets on those pussies and lead them off into the gulag? Well, no, I'm sort of saying like when people are like, "Well, why didn't they fight against this?" And then they show them this and they're like, "This is what they did instead."
This was the biggest defense they could muster for the country they claimed to be so precious.
And they go, surely those men were in their early 20s, right?
No,
I go, no.
they were a fighting age. They were a fighting age.
Sound mind, able-bodied.
Sound mind perfectly healthy. Feet couldn't be less flat.
Yep. High
Didn't
arches, front
have
line.
consumption.
Yeah, didn't have consumption. Nope. Not
No
a,
tuberculosis.
yeah,
Not
nope.
a single excuse they shouldn't be out in the streets defending the Constitution. What'd they do? They made seven pitches for new Twizzler promotions.
All of which honestly were kind of jokey.
And verged on the psychotic. You know what? I think we're doing our part.
People got to laugh.
People, But are they?
I did.
The people have to clear their throat in acknowledgement of an attempt at a joke made.
Everyone at home is just like,
Yeah.
But I think the point really we want to get across to everybody is that the cold Twizzlers aren't that cold.
No, they're not.
They're like 62 degrees, and that's the genius of it.
A lesser advertising company would have tried to figure out how to make an ice cream Twizzler. We said, nope.
Don't make an ice cream Twizzler. We want to make like just like a Twizzler that's like pretty. It's pretty. It's cool. It's cooler. It's colder.
Yeah,
it's a little bit colder.
A little.
But you can eat a bunch right away, and you're not going to get brain freeze. Don't worry about that. That's not what we're talking about. It's not cold.
Yeah, that thing about when you bite into something that's too cold, and even your teeth know it. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen because it's not that cold. It's colder than your regular Twizzler. Yeah.
Right. It's not room temp.
But listen to me, and I really need you to hear me. It's not that cold, the Twizzler that we're trying to sell you. Do you need your own kind of cold fridge in order to store them? Yeah.
Sure.
They're $200. We sell them with the kind of cold Twizzlers.
They're $200, and they don't work that great. And there's not a lot of people available to repair them.
No.
So you're going to have to buy like four a year, maybe.
Four a year. Yeah, and it's not even planned obsolescence. Like, this isn't like a marketing thing. We're just bad engineers.
We just didn't get out in front of the technology that we needed to before the release.
Yeah, so hear us when we say this. You're really gonna like these kind of cold Twizzlers because they're not that cold.
Not that cold. And they also don't taste like somebody just pulled them out of their pocket like so many goddamn Twizzlers do.
Yeah. Yeah, and these Twizzlers, but also they don't melt also like the regular Twizzlers.
Right. Twizzlers, as far as we understand, cannot through any means, earthly means, be melted.
There are three mysteries that currently plague, I think, the modern humanity. And number one, the hard problem of consciousness. Is consciousness an emergent property of matter, or is it fundamental? Mm. Number two, you know, is there a God and is there meaning? Number three, what in this realm can melt Twizzlers?
Right.
And I think once we figure out any one of those three, I think we'll enter in the Aquarian Age for real.
Yeah, I know that I believe the Catholics believe that if a certain number of people prayed the rosary, that peace on earth would be enacted forever. And I think it's a very similar thing, my belief system, that if someone were to through some sort of technique develop here on Earth, able to melt a Twizzler, then the heart opening that would organically happen would allow human beings to finally look into the eyes of one another and say, you are my brother, you are my sister.
Yes.
You are my father, you are my friend.
Yes, we share a spark from the same divine creature. That's what we would look at each other and say, if anybody could melt a Twizzler. I mean, it almost is like a Zen koan. It's like, how do you melt a Twizzler? And then you send off your pupil to go think about that and meditate on it for years. What's the sound of one hand clapping? How do you melt a Twizzler? All these kind of paradoxical questions that can't be answered. Because obviously Twizzlers, by their very definition, cannot be melted by no human technology.
My sister, she said that after she gave birth, she was driving home and she couldn't, every person she saw on the street, she was emotionally aware of the fact that they had once been an infant.
Mm.
And I believe that if anyone figures out here in America or over the globe figures out how to melt a Twizzler,
I think
that we will all be inherently gifted that inherent knowledge, and thusly we will understand the foundational property of existence is love and ultimately oneness.
Yeah, I think if eventually we came to the point as a society where we're able to figure out how to melt a Twizzler, we would stop sprinting after external validation that ultimately fills a hole that only widens itself with our attempts. And we would finally look ourselves in the mirror and say, I love you, and mean it. And we wouldn't point to all the things that we own as justification for our very existence. Fire truck.
You know, I really feel like if somehow in this lifetime or the next someone was able to figure out how to melt a Twizzler, that we would be able to finally, through love and acceptance, absorb, process, and free ourselves from the generational trauma of rage that was visited from our grandfathers to our great-grandfathers, from our great-grandfathers down to our fathers, and be able to look into their hearts and say, I truly forgive you for doing the only thing that you were capable of doing. I recognize that I am within you and you are within me. So a failure to forgive you can only result in me propagating this rage onto my son.
Yeah.
Thusly, once the self is forgiven, all is forgiven.
You'd break the cycle of rage if only you could witness the melting of a Twizzler. But since you can't, we're going to probably continue the cycle. You know what I mean?
It's kind of, we're stuck there for a little bit.
Yeah, because I've never seen a Twizzler melt. Therefore, I got a bunch of enemies. You know what I mean? And very few brothers. And love for only a small group of people who mostly like the same stuff that I do and believe the same things I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I were to see a Twizzler melt, all of a sudden, maybe my heart would open to people with different opinions, backgrounds, ideologies, life experiences. But until that point, no. Me against the very, very angry and scary world. I think if I saw a Twizzler melt, I would no longer fear death.
Yeah. I feel like if I saw a Twizzler melt, I would be able to, well, the spiritual community uses the word grok, the understanding that the universe moves in seasons. And within that truth is a beautiful morality that all the mind can't grasp it, the heart knows it to be true.
Yeah, but because I haven't seen a Twizzler melt, I'm going to go on to Twitter after this and get into a fight with a stranger about whatever opinion they choose.
Zach, where can the people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at zach.mendez. And I'd ask that you don't search for me anywhere else. I would like to, yeah, remain anonymous. Just the Instagram. That's all I have is Instagram.
Beautiful. And we got some sketches on there. And now, did you want to promote your Cameo? I know you've been doing Cameo stuff.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's mostly I've been doing cameos for fans of Dragon Age. I played a character on Dragon Age that people, you know, want to get cameos from. So if you ever played that game, feel free. You can jump on Cameo. And I'll talk to you in a really, you know, hilarious Spanish accent. But definitely check out Mort and I's sketches on Instagram. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can find us at Rebrand the Pod on Instagram, Rebrand the Podcast on Patreon, where, as I said before, $5, what a steal.
What?
Yeah, you get to support the show, which is great. And also, you get occasional pictures of Cody and ad-free episodes on the Patreon that sometimes drop early. Crazy shit like that. And there's footage of me jacking off on there. Just kidding. The last part's not true. But what if, though, you know?
What if? You almost had my five.
This has been Rebrand. Thank you so much, Zach. You're a prince and a king.
Rebrand!